Are you ready for word tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Once again, I want to duct tape this to my face, I guess, to get it right where I need to. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Are you there? Wait for me. Get closer. What happens when you're trying to think what you're about to say next? Trying to hear what you're going to say, and then you forget to look at the pages you're turning. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We've been on a series for a few weeks now on what is our assignment as a church. You know, we're in a new place, a new building, new facility, new area. In fact, it's the area we came into. I had a dream before we came in that let me know I didn't know how to do it myself. I was going to need God. I'm going to need wisdom to do it. And but we know there's some general things we need to know, right? We need to know how to maintain covenant in the body of Christ. Is that true?
Yes.
We keep strife out of our midst.
Amen.
We keep building our faith towards what God's assigned us to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And we keep pursuing Him and keeping our faith momentum, our spiritual momentum high. Keep praying in the Spirit. Stay in the Word. Stay in church.
Amen.
Don't let the distractions take you away from what God would have you do to stay filled. Amen. We don't want to be running on fumes.
No.
Thank you, Jesus. So we've been going through a whole set of steps. I don't want to read through all of them again tonight. But how many has it been? About 16 or so?
13.
How many?
13.
13? Last time we left off, we're talking about things the church is supposed to do. The last one we talked about is to teach the church how to avoid deception. How to walk in the light, right? And not to be fooled by the schemes of the enemy. To avoid pride and artificial religion. See, these things try to creep in on us if we're not on guard. Amen. You know, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hunger, let him come, or thirst, let him come into me and sup. I guess hunger coming sup. Now, Jesus is knocking, but so is religion. They're opposing doors. Religion wants you just to go through the motions. Just speak hallelujah, praise the Lord, try to be nice and do some good deeds and think that's enough. But to go where God's calling us in the end times is going to take faith. It's going to take purpose. It's going to take discipline and determination. And He's coming back for a bride who can't be defeated. Right?
Right.
Well, tonight, I want to go to start in Romans chapter 8. Let's go to verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Isn't everybody going to die?
No.
Not spiritually.
Nope.
Do you follow me?
Right.
We're already alive in Christ. We're dead unto ourselves. We're alive in Christ.
Right.
Amen. And so, if we revert to living after the flesh, we could go back into the deadness of life.
Right.
Amen. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Mortify means to put to death.
Right. Amen.
It's where we get the word mortician. Right?
Yes.
Listen. When you got born again, you're a three-part being. Mm-hmm. You are a spirit. You live in a body. You possess a soul. When you got saved, only one-third of you got saved at that moment. The spirit man was reborn. You still have the same head and mind and even flesh you had before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And part of our job once we're born again is to now start to crucify, to put to death the things that are flesh-oriented in our life. Flesh-dominating. Now, you still have to eat, drink, sleep. You follow me? There's things the flesh is built for you to do, but you're not to let the flesh dominate or take control over your life. It says in Galatians chapter 5, for the flesh wars after the spirit, or lusteth after the spirit, and the spirit after the flesh.
Right. Amen.
There's a battle going on within you. What your spirit wants to do to follow God and what your flesh wants to do to be appeased, to be comfortable. Mm. And as long as that battle's going on, you can't do what you need to do. And so within us, we have to be able to make sure we keep the spirit strong by fueling it, feeding it the right things, and then use it to tell the flesh to shut up. You're not going to eat that. You're not going to drink that. You're not going to watch that. You're not going to say that. You're not even going to think that. Was that too hard? I mean, Paul talked about it, to take every thought captive. Philippians 4:8, to think on these things. He gave us a thought filter.
Amen.
System. And so, if we're going to crucify the flesh, if we're going to live in Christ, there's a responsibility to keep the flesh under.
Right.
Don't let it be the one calling the shots. Amen?
Amen?
Because as soon as the flesh takes over,
yes,
it didn't just take an inch. It'll take the whole plate. It's kind of like me and chocolate. Me and anything. Sugary.
Yeah.
It's always been, I could eat one piece of candy, then I'd have to have a second and a third until the bag was gone. And it would become, if I got a box of chocolates, it was an assignment in my life for the flesh to conquer that box of chocolates. Maybe regardless of what the Spirit was saying. And so I had to come to a place, flesh, you're not eating any of it. We're not in this chocolate conquering assignment. Amen. Patty can do it. She can eat one chocolate. She can eat a bite out of a chocolate. I used to get her, I don't do it as much anymore because she's asked me not to, but every year, for every celebration in the year, she got a box of Witness chocolates, a Witness sample. Used to be a 1 pound box and they cut it to like 12 ounces. Anybody ever knows that beside me? Price stayed the same, they cut it to 12 ounces. And so I'd give it to her, she'd eat the ones she wanted and give me the rest. And I would get a box full of dented chocolates. Dented and nibbled on. She'd press them to see what was in them. If cream came out, that was mine. Or cars. You couldn't push it to caramel. No, that's Jack's. And it turned out out of a whole box of Witness, she'd eat three chocolates and give me the rest. Worked for me for a while. Amen. And so, we're to put to death the deeds of the flesh.
Amen.
To not let the flesh dominate. And the next one is number 14, I guess.
Yep.
Number 14 is to guide the body of how to overcome the flesh and the attacks of the enemy. We're to be diligent in maintaining control over the flesh and not giving the enemy a foothold to, how can I say, interfere with our life. Because when you start to give the flesh control, there'll almost always be a demonic spirit trying to step into that place as well. You watch the wrong things on the internet, it's not just about you having a moment of physical, how can I, stimulation. There's a demon behind that.
Yes.
Wanting to come in through an open door and start to take control. If you start doing the wrong things with your integrity, it's not just that you saved a little bit of money on something. The Spirit will come in.
I lost you.
Hallelujah.
Did I cut you off?
I guess. What happened? Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God.
You're on.
Still on?
Yeah. Sorry, I was turning the fans off back here.
I got you.
You should need
a tall person to reach the hand, the cords. To guide the body, to keep the flesh under. Read it again. Overcome the flesh and the attacks of the enemy. So many things you think may be harmless in your life, there may be a spirit behind it. The refrigerator. There's this thing is a spirit of gluttony.
Yes.
It's a spirit. We'll try to come in on that. Cutting corners financially. There's a spirit of greed. You remember Jason Avanzini being with us last year talking about nobody ever comes up in a prayer line and says, I have a spirit of greed.
Yeah.
They'll talk about lust or whatever, but nobody ever says, I have a spirit of greed. But the Bible talks about it. What we do with our money, they open doors. So it's important we maintain a hold on what we should and shouldn't do. Not by works, not because we're winning our way to heaven, but because we don't want to give the enemy any handles to pull on. Jesus said this, the enemy cometh, Satan cometh, but he has nothing in me. Not a single body can push, not a single handle he can pull.
Amen.
Nothing he can get to trigger Jesus to not do the will of the Father. Mm-hmm. And we've got to get to the place we become button and handle free. He has no hold on our decisions, right?
Amen.
Nothing he can do to push us. Here's the funny thing. I shouldn't say funny. Here's the interesting thing. God will never violate your free will. Never. He gives you a free will to choose him or not choose him. To seek him or not seek him. To follow the flesh or to follow the spirit. He gives you a free will. You find he'll never push you. The devil will push you. And if you give him an opening, he will push and push and push until he kills you. Or destroys lives around you. And so, part of the role of the church then is to teach people how to win in this warfare. How to battle against darkness. How to take control of the flesh. Because now there's a movement within the Christianity that's always been there, but it seems like it's really been highlighted over the past decade. 15 years or so. There's a move that says, even in the church, if the church feels good to do it, you're not under law anymore, you're under grace. Amen. And the theme of the Satanic Bible is do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. If we have it entering the church now under the form of grace, anything else is legalism.
Amen.
We have a responsibility to keep the flesh under. Amen. Which means we monitor it. Monitor it. Of course, the most powerful thing you can do to monitor the flesh is stay in connection with God. You want to monitor the flesh? Make it a habit to read in Proverbs.
Amen.
I mean, it will highlight what the flesh is trying to do. Just read Proverbs. But do it with a relationship that God can say, you've been doing that. You've been opening that door. You've been entertaining that. Those thoughts are not of me. Amen. With all the crazy stuff going on in the world right now, and in America, it's vital we control, we guard what's going through our minds. Otherwise, a get 'em God mentality will arise. Did you hear me on that?
Mm-hmm. I don't agree with it.
When you say it again.
If we're not careful to guard what we're thinking, we can fall into the trap of a get 'em God mentality. What do you mean? The disciples fell into the trap. He said, Lord, well, I forget what the transgression was. They were doing something inappropriate. And the disciples said, Lord, should we call down fire on them?
Yeah.
You remember this story?
Yeah, they spit on them.
What's that?
The crowd going by spit on them.
Spit on them. Okay. Should we call down fire from heaven? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. So you can entertain a holy, you can be a Christian and walk in thinking you're walking in holiness with the wrong mindset in you that you're wanting God to get somebody. And God's trying to get mercy to them. We're trying to get judgment. That name you're thinking of right now, just cast it down. Listen. I want God to deal with the wickedness.
Amen.
Majorly. You follow me? But when you start putting names to it, that could be a dangerous thing. Amen. I want him to take people out of power. I want him to shut down this, how can I say, demonic system in Iran. I want to shut down. But I don't wish anybody to die and go to hell. You follow me? And sometimes our calling of judgment is saying inside, Lord, they need hell right now. And that's a dangerous mentality. So we want truth, we want righteousness, we want, how can I say it? Love and peace on earth. But if we start putting on a murderous mindset, we may be thinking out of alignment with what God, wants to do. I don't know if you follow that or not, what He wants to do. And I have to guard myself. I have to watch how much I watch the news. Or else you start getting angry and want to call down fire.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's not my job. It's the president's.
Pray for him.
James chapter 4. I'll try to use this to explain it a little bit further. James chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. That's relationship. That's the Word being active in your life. That's the Holy Spirit guiding you and leading you. Submitting yourself to God, right? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. These are counterparts. If you will submit to God, you'll be resisting the devil. You follow me? And to resist the devil, sometimes you've got to submit to God. But how do we resist the devil? How do we do it? I mean, the number one answer, Terry just said it, is with the Word. If the devil's attacking in this fashion, you resist him by speaking the Word.
Amen.
If he says, you know, you're going to die, no, I will live and declare, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. You speak the Word. Yes. You're sick, no, I'm healed. Mm-hmm. You're poor, no, I'm rich, according to the Word. He supplies all my need. You speak the Word. That's our number one way of resisting the devil. And it's called the sword of the Spirit. I believe when you speak the Word, it hurts the devil.
Amen.
I don't know how. I don't know about what means, but he doesn't like it. And there's authority behind those words when you speak the Word that cause him to flee.
Amen.
But I want to take a step further. How do you resist the devil? You refuse to give him openings in your life through the flesh. You refuse to give him access to your thinking, which will lead to access to your tongue, to your words.
Amen.
And so, to submit to God and resist the devil requires you monitor what you think. The devil is the master at mental chess. He's a master at it. Now, God's the overall master, you follow me? But as far as humanity is concerned, we're no match for the devil in mental. Mental argument. And so what we have to do is just never go to trial with him. Don't enter into the discussions. Tell him, shut up and move on. And speak the word or meditate the word or whatever you got to do. Sing a song until it stops. But you refuse to think on the things of darkness.
Amen.
You're submitting to God. You're resisting the devil. Because the devil just can't come on you and take over your flesh. Can I take this a step deeper? The devil cannot just come on you and take over your flesh. While that having other steps haven't taken place first. Now listen, you can go out and see the videos. Maybe you've seen it in person where the devil has taken over people. I've cast out a lot of devils. I've confronted a lot more where the devil's taken over somebody's life. You follow me? I mean, they're just possessed. But that didn't just happen. They gave the enemy open doors. They gave him openings a step at a time until he was able to take over. Amen. What I'm saying is, The devil just can't come on somebody and say, okay, you're mine, I grab you now. The Bible says he takes people captive at their will. Before he can take over your flesh, he's got to take over your mind. The enemy's access point to our lives is our soul. Even if he gets sickness on you, he's going to convince you that it belongs to you.
Yeah.
You follow me? Mm-hmm. That's what he's normally going to do. He's going to give you some tips and convince you to receive them. He attacks your mind. He attacks your emotions to get you to make decisions and give him access to further parts of your thinking and your life. You know, you've been doing so good, walking with God, you know, just so powerfully, but you go through a downtime, and the devil is the downtime amplifier.
Yes.
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 I mean, we have amplifiers. We got some strong amplifiers. We can take Karen's laptop and plug in these amplifiers we have here, and her laptop's putting out a little bitty signal. Little bitty. I mean, if you hooked it up to an earphone, you would hear it, but not much. If we hook it to these amplifiers, well, they're in there. I hooked every one of these speakers and blow us out of the building.
Yeah.
I mean, literally. Probably put some windows out if we wanted to. Turn up loud enough, the amplifiers we have. And the devil has amplification power over what you're thinking and what you're feeling. Especially in the area of oppression, discouragement, and despair.
Yes.
And you can have something, you can have a little thing happen. Is this okay with you tonight?
Yes.
You can have a little thing happen, you know, trying to think of the right one without picking on my wife.
Thank you.
This will never be her. But you get a hangnail. Break a nail. Get a hangnail. Oh, rats. I hurts. I'm always breaking my nail. Nothing goes right for me. Next thing you know, you're speaking death and curse over your life. I mean, if it goes on, you don't put a stop to it. The devil's back there saying, and you know what? Remember when your car broke down? Remember when that person cussed you out? Remember when you lost a $20 bill? And you have to be rehearsing every bad thing that ever happened in your life. But the next thing you know, you're like, yeah. I just wish I could die. Are you following me on this?
Yes.
He's the discouragement amplifier. And he brings every event from your past and brings it in to get you to want to quit. And what happens is you can go from being on top of everything.
Yeah.
And you don't keep your tank full, and a down moment comes, here comes Mr. Amplifier. Next you know, he says, you know, if you just pop that pill, things feel better. When you pop the pill, if you just do that needle, things will be good. If you smoke that pipe, things will be better. And a step at a time, all of a sudden he's come in and taken over your life. You see the videos. You see the videos online of people that are doing, acting like animals. Mm-hmm. Animals out there and totally out of their minds. In fact, it's been several years ago now. I would say 10 years or so. I was driving from Lexington to Frankfort. I get off at exit 58. So you veer off. You take the right turn, V's off the interstate. And when I'm veering off, there's a girl out of her mind on drugs in the very tip of the V. If here's the road, here's the interstate, and here's my exit, she's right here in the tip, jumping out in traffic and jumping back. Jumping out and jumping back. Out of her mind. So I call the police right now and said, there's some suicidal girl up there. I don't think I got 50 feet.
Woo!
They're up there. They were on that one. And so I didn't hear about her getting hit, so they must have got her. That didn't happen overnight. Well, it could have been. It could be she just made a mistake, did the wrong thing, and it's out there. But usually people make some bad decisions out of amplified oppression that leads them into this place of being led by the enemy where he wants to take them. He takes them captive at their will. So his will becomes their will. And part of our job is, kind of got off on a bunny trail on this one, didn't we? Part of our job is to teach people how they can be victorious over these thoughts and emotions. How they can be controlled, take authority over the flesh.
Cast them down.
Well, the devil made me do it. Huh. No, you gave the devil access.
Amen.
Then he made you do it.
Yep.
Amen. We saw special influence on the other night. So. It's vital. We learn how and we teach others. Your mind is not a playground. And you control who sits at the camp in it. And you have the right to control, to first monitor what you're thinking and then control who's setting up camp. Does this sound too hard?
No.
It's not automatic.
No, it's not.
It takes practice. It takes practice. And but like anything else, if you practice it, you can get good at it. And you can get very, how can I say, accurate's not the word I want, but quick and accurate on identifying thoughts that shouldn't be going through your head.
Yes.
And resisting the devil and casting them down and speaking word instead. And we should make it a challenge. I'm going to go down this trail. I don't know if I should or not. But I like to do puzzles. And I've got a crossword puzzle book. I've never had one like it before. Every puzzle has some different sneaky clues in it. Like, not even crossword clues. Stuff will be thrown in there. And I keep hitting these blocks on them. Like, I have four or five words thinking, I need to quit on this one. And I'll just keep thinking and guessing, and all of a sudden, I get it filled in. You should get most of it filled in. And sometimes all of it. See, I don't remember what's going on. The practice. The practice of doing them gets you better and better. I should have used a different one. Anyway. If you'll practice controlling what you, or monitoring what you think. I'm sorry. Those puzzles, now I remember. Those puzzles become a challenge.
Yes.
It's your saying to me, you'll not get me. Yes, I will. I always win. I talk to the puzzles. But they're saying, no, this one's too hard. You can't. And I'm, nope, I'm getting this one. And I make it a challenge to stay on it until I get whatever, everything solved I can. We need to do the same thing, what we're thinking. Treat it as a challenge to monitor what we're thinking. See, I never should have went down that thing. But here we are. Make it a challenge to you to monitor your thoughts.
Yes.
And keep the devil out of them. I'm not speaking to you tonight, but I can't get off this vein right now. I made it a challenge over a year ago. Every time I found my imagination going the wrong direction in some kind of fantasy or, you know, what if situation.
Yeah.
And I recognize it. And I'm getting better and better at doing it quickly. Shutting it down, even if it was a good one. Oh, that was such a good imagination. No, shut it down. I worship you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. That imagination reminded me to worship you and to glorify you.
Yeah.
This mind is for your glory, not
Amen.
For me getting in some prideful, you know, fantasies. Even though I didn't dunk the basketball over the top of LeBron James' head. He had it coming. It's amazing when that mind will just take off on its own tangent.
Yes.
And if we'll make it a challenge to monitor it, we can control it.
Yes.
And we can control what we think. See, it sounds so crazy to the average Christian. But we can monitor what we think and then control it. We can keep the devil out every single time. Because if he can't enter up here, he can't enter into this.
Right.
But instead, we have so many oppression triggers. What we do when we feel oppression, instead of dealing with the spirit that's bringing it, taking the word against it and resisting it, watching it flee, we run to different escape areas. Internet, television, refrigerator, credit card, whatever it might be. God's saying, no, no, no. I've got to raise up a bride. It's not just pure in action. They're pure in thought. Because if you don't become pure in thought, the enemy will find an opening. I better move on. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. So I should move it on. First Peter chapter 5, look at verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. What's vigilant mean?
On guard.
What's that?
On guard.
On guard. Consistently. I call it consistent diligence or guarding. Guarding is a good word. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil. Who's the enemy?
The devil.
Those people that you're upset at, and maybe you've hoped fire could fall down on, aren't the enemy. The devil's taking them captive at their will. Now they open doors. I was reading today out of 2 Thessalonians, where it says, talking about the end times, that those that have rejected God, God will send them a spirit of delusion, or what's the word? Delusion?
Yes, send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Amen.
The spirit of delusion that they would not believe the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. God knows how to deal with his own vengeance. We don't need to be calling down fire. Amen. And people you see that aren't making sense, doing crazy stuff, opposing truth, opposing love, peace, and integrity, robbing from the American people, there's a good chance they fall and pray to the spirit of delusion. Amen. I'm praying for revival so sweeps the nation, a bunch of them are set free. But still get them out of power. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, he's as one. Walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's looking for openings. He can't just devour. He's seeking who will give him an opening. Now repeat after me. Make sure you got it. Where does the opening begin?
In the mind.
In your mind, in your thoughts. It always starts in the thoughts. Now maybe you stubbed your toe. That triggered. You just think the wrong thing. But the devil's first entry is always going to be in your mind. And if we open our mind to his voice, his triggered feelings, then we may give him access to the flesh to respond however we want to. However he wants us to. Amen. I was thinking about the time I threw your videotape in the wall. We're not going into that tonight. Ask Penny about it later. Verse 9. Whom resist? Say resist.
Resist.
Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resist steadfast in the faith. What's that mean? What's it mean in the faith? It's by the words what it is.
Yeah.
Some people will say, well, it's just you go to church. The devil's not afraid of you going to church. He's pastoring a bunch of them. Do you follow me? I mean, you can see it in the media. who they're ordaining now, what doctrines are embracing. In the faith means you're standing on the Word.
Right. That's how our faith comes. Amen.
You're trusting in the Word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word, right?
Amen.
And you're trusting in that Word as your foundation, your rock that makes you immovable. And steadfast means you're standing immovable. Resist steadfast. Steadfast means you're stead, and fast means immovable. And you're standing on the rock, the Word, in faith, makes you immovable by the devil. So when the waves of mental assault hit you, you resist. I don't care if you stand there for an hour and do this. Not my thought. Nope, I cast it down. Nope, I don't receive it. Nope. The Word says this. Nope, not mine. Nope. And you stay steadfast until the assault ceases.
Amen.
I heard a message years ago, and I've applied it in my life ever since. I mean, probably 30 years ago. And the message is called The Last Word. When you were a kid, anybody have any siblings? You get an argument? R not. And with the siblings, whoever got the last word won. I'm a sissy. No, you're a sissy. I'm a sissy. No, you're a sissy. You're a sissy. I mean, whatever it was. You're regular. You're regular times three. You're regular times infinity times pi. Whoever got the last word won the argument. Amen. And you got to touch him. Say, touch me.
Yeah.
I can think of my kids. They touched me. Mom, she touched me. Don't touch her again. Well, she leaned her hair, touched me. Anyway. When we're standing in a fight of faith, steadfast, the last word wins. You speak the word of God until you win, until he ceases. You're resisting. He's got to flee. Says he'll flee.
Amen.
Well, I've been speaking it for a week, getting fled. Keep speaking it then. Because it says he will flee. So whatever argument you're in, if it's about your health, about your finances, about your family, about your joy, whatever, keep speaking the word until the assault stops.
Right.
Because if you stop first, the last word that settles in there will dominate. It will germinate. It will start to take root. You follow me? So when you're fighting a great fight of faith, fight of faith, a mega fight of faith, and blah, 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 blah. Hebrews chapter 10, a great fight of faith. It's important you get the last word. And you don't stop until you do. Well, that doesn't sound like fun. It's not. But neither is being sick. Neither is being broke. Neither is being suicidal. And whether you want to believe it or not, you having these things in your life, you entertain this, and may be the result of who gets the last word. We have this mindset. And I'm not trying to make this hard. Please, Lord, don't let me make it hard. But I've got to be genuine. With this mindset, we come to church, and we got all these problems in the world. We come to church, all our problems should disappear. No, we learn to win. There's still a fight.
Yes.
Before you had no hope of winning.
Yes.
You're under the oppressor. You're under the control of the enemy. You're just... Subject you being pushed to whichever you want to push you. But you come to church, you get to win. And again, I've seen the videos. I don't think I've ever been to a live boxing match, but I've watched a lot of them. Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. They're fighting, I believe it was the second fight they had. And Tyson bites off his ear.
Yeah.
Bites the top of his ear off. You see him spit it out.
Oh, God.
I'm watching. watching this fight. They stopped the fight. Look at his ear. Did they disqualify him there? They keep on fighting. I think they keep on fighting.
They
kept
fighting. Yeah.
They kept on fighting.
Yeah.
Holyfield wins. He's celebrating. Then they just bit part of your ear off. You part of your ear, but no, I won. It's not the fight that matters if you win.
Right.
And what you do with your thoughts, what you do to stand, what you do to build your faith, to keep yourself built up so you can be vigilant, determines whether you win or not. And again, it's not that easy. It's just that effective. Anybody in here a sore loser? I'm not going to mention my wife.
My grandson.
We don't like either of us like to lose. Don't like to lose. How about anybody here like to lose?
No.
I don't care if it's tiddlywinks, I don't like to lose. Now, it doesn't bother me, maybe, like it did at one time, but we were made winners. I don't know anybody, never met anybody that just wants to lose all the time. Oh yeah, I'm gonna enter the race. I can't wait to get this so I can lose. No. You were made to be a winner. I really thought we'd be a lot further than this tonight so far. You were made to be a winner. And you determine as a Christian how much you're going to win. You got to decide, I'm not losing. Here's a saying. We've been speaking this for years. I believe I heard it's in the back of Kenneth Copeland's garage on the wall. Big sign. It says, I cannot be defeated.
Will not quit.
And I will not quit. Now, there's not a verse that says that verbatim, word for word. But it's the message of the entire Bible. You won't be defeated if you don't quit. That's where vigilance comes in. If you determine I'm going to win. Well, I'm trying to find a church where it's easy. You find a church where it's that easy, you'll find a church where you're losing at all the time.
Yes.
They're just telling you it's okay because you're going to heaven someday. I'm not satisfied with just going to heaven someday if I have a promise I'm supposed to win.
Right.
And we win. Is anybody with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you choose.
Yeah.
It's funny. It says in 1 Corinthians, Paul writing, he says, in the church, there's not many that are brilliant, many that are that strong or that charismatic, just paraphrasing some of it. Church is full of a whole lot of people of all different backgrounds.
Yes.
Not just because you're the greatest leader in the world that you're now, you're going to be a star in Christianity. You know what makes you a star in Christianity? Something inside that says, and it's the Spirit of God. It's your reborn spirit, actually. It says, don't quit.
Yeah.
Don't lose. Don't give way to that. No weapon. Something inside of you just keeps on pressing ahead. Now what happens if you don't stay that course? What happens if you don't control what you think? What happens if you don't cast down imaginations? Choose to be a victor. Well, I believe if you'll still follow after God, you get to heaven. You just may not fulfill your high calling in life in doing it. You may get to heaven too early because sickness took you out, or an accident took you out, or whatever took you out. You may get to heaven having been miserable much of your life on earth, or just contented in religion. But I want to get there. I want to get to heaven and hear, well done, a good and faithful servant.
Yes.
Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. Have authority over so many cities. Or I want to hear, you maxed it out. You didn't compromise with the devil. You didn't compromise with religion. You didn't compromise with the world. You did what you had to max out the opportunity. I want to hear Jesus say, when I said you could come in and sup, you came, you didn't just come in, you moved in. Brought your robot and everything. Anybody else want to max it out?